I got good ears, but I got to tell you, when my wife said you guys are having this vision night, and she said there's going to be great soups, not gray suits. I thought she said gray suits. And I was like, we're going to have gray suits for everybody? That seems really strange and peculiar. So I thought through the process, as my wife usually says, Josh, think before you speak out loud. Probably it's not what you heard. And I was like, that's right, great soups. Soups, S-O-U-P-S. Gray suits didn't make any sense to me. Good job, good job. So I went somewhere last night, and I told the guys, I said, I don't think there's anything in last night that could create a message from this. Not at all, not even a little bit. There's still nothing. But I will say this. There's enough of you Trailhead people that are attending something here more regularly. So then I started thinking, I got to put some rules on this. So here it is. Last night, I went to go watch our very own Chris, TNT, pro wrestler. If you know our parking lot guys, he has his belt on, and he's out in the parking lot directing traffic. Some of you don't realize that he's a champion, all right? A legit champion. So we went and watched him last night for the first time, and I had no idea what I was about to get into. And I walked away. I ear to ear, my gut's still hurting because I was laughing so hard. If you go, you got to make sure Jeff Bardell is with you because it makes it all the more enjoyable. I'm going to steal one of his jokes. There was nothing funnier than I think it might have been Chris who was taking this guy's arm and twisting it around, and Jeff yells, rip it off and give it to me! What in the world? It was such a fun environment. However, I've recognized there's a lot of Trailhead people that are attending this. So then I started thinking, all right, we got to put some rules because, listen, there's a few things you can say to me from this audience. You can say amen. You can say that was good. Keep preaching. You can say hallelujah. You can say, you know, glory to God. But I do not want you to call me potato. I don't want you to call me peanut head. I don't want you to tell me to beat somebody with a stick again. Or again, and Jeff, what was that slogan you kept saying last night? Chop him in the chest. So let's hold yourself together to not start yelling things out to the pastor to start doing things, all right? All right, let's just keep it to the normal Christianese terms that we're all familiar with amen, that was good, hallelujah, all right? Everybody in agreement with that? Amen. All right. Chop him in the chest. But I got to tell you, that's not how Jeff was saying it. Jeff has like a voice that comes out of it. It was amazing. You know, you guys heard me preach a few weeks ago. I said, you know, do something crazy. This was that moment. I got to yell that out. Do something crazy. Do something crazy. I got involved. I don't know, man. It was... Someone said, you going to go again? I said, I am, and I'm bringing Anna with me. I said, Anna would enjoy this. Anna would enjoy it. So, all right. So this morning we're talking about prayer and fasting, all right? So our church, we are preparing, starting this evening, we're going to start our 21 days tomorrow, but we're going to open up this house tonight between 6 and 7 p.m., for prayer, for 1 hour of prayer. We'd encourage you to come. There is no child care, okay? But if you decide to bring your children, just remember, keep them respectful in this place. We don't want them running around unattended. So they're in the sanctuary, but just keep in mind, we're coming in here this evening to pray, okay? So from 6 to 7, and we're going to do that for the next 3 Sundays. And then also throughout the week, we have between 9 and 9:30 Monday through Thursday, and then also noon to 1 Monday through Thursday. Now, for some of you that are like, say that again, we have a church app, and we would love for you to download this church app. It's super simple, it's easy, and it's really beneficial because during this next 21 days, each day we're going to be praying on a particular prayer topic with scriptures to back it up, and we would love to send you those push notifications just so that you know what we're doing and what we're praying and why we're praying what we're doing. That make sense? All right. So download that app. You can go to your app store from your phone and then just search Trailhead Church. You'll see it there. Download. You'll see the logo, the Mountains of the Sea logo. Download that app, and then you're preparing yourself for prayer and fasting for the next 21 days. Now, today's message, I am talking and teaching on this so that we are of an agreement of what we're doing and why we're doing it. It's not just to pray. It's not just to fast, because those things get you in trouble. But I want to actually have intent in what we're doing. So I want to break it down into two different topics, which is prayer and fasting. First, I want to talk about prayer. And I do want to always highlight back to what the message title is today, that it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. A lot of times people get in the hustle and the bustle of life and they lose focus and they just kind of throw up prayers. They kind of just throw in fasting, or they don't either one of them. Some of you are prayer slackers, and I get it. I understand. You get consumed with all the different daily tasks, and before you know it, you'll go, I didn't get any time to pray. I'll just pray tomorrow. We can't have that attitude, and we also can't have that type Christian life. We can't have that type of lifestyle where it's just, I'll get to it when I can or whatever. No, we have to be prayerfully all the time, every time, without ceasing. We have to be in a prayer mentality. So we're going to talk about all that today. But it's worth the wait, okay? 100% worth the wait. And why I say it like that is because you're sowing seed. You're believing for breakthrough. You're seeing that God's going to bring you into agreement to what His word has to say. He's going to enlighten you on things when you begin to pray and fast. So for most of my life, to be real and just plain transparent, I've viewed prayer as a compartmentalized type of spiritual activity. I would go from praying to just the work, the hustle and the bustle, the moments of just praying again, and then spending time with some friends, and then it's like, where do I fill in the gaps of prayer? And I would just compartmentalize it and be like, well, prayer belongs in the morning time. And then I'd just be done with it. Oh, I prayed for 30 minutes. I got my little sticker for my chore chart. Everyone, I feel good about myself. And then you realize, but you could also pray at lunchtime. You could also pray at 2 p.m. You could pray at 3:10. That's not really a worth time there. It's 3:10. Sorry, 3:10. You can pray at any moment. So what's sad is that you can't view your prayer life as a organized Excel spreadsheet. It's really important that we separate, and we, when I say separate ourselves from those, mind games that we've played, and begin to have a lifestyle that we walk in. So what do I mean by this? I think your goal should be to get to a place where praying is almost like breathing, that it just becomes natural, that it just becomes something as you are walking and you are operating in your day-to-day lifestyle, that it's just constant prayer. And maybe you get to the point where it's at the very end of the day where you put your head down on your pillow and you say, amen, that it's just finished, that you go to bed. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul is adamant about this. Why? Because he sees the benefit of it. Pray continually. It doesn't need to be something we just compartmentalize, that it's just a portion of the day. It's all day. It's all the time, not just when you feel like it. That's important. I do believe, as your pastor, and this is what I ministered on last week just briefly, is that I want us to get prepared, and I want our four anchors down. I mentioned four anchors last week: God's word, faith, hope, and love, generosity, and then the community of the church. And those four anchors are very important for us to go through the storms of life. Then when we have those four anchored down, it creates sustainability. It creates a sturdiness, a ready-to-go type of mentality. Now, keeping that in mind is also knowing that we are in a season of preparation. When you are in a season of preparation, the enemy wants to destroy that preparation because it actually affects your future. So as your pastor, me talking about those four anchors last week, I do believe that we are in a season of preparation. And that's why it's worth the wait. That what you're putting into this moment right now, you may say, I want it tomorrow. And you've all heard the cliche statements of, we are a microwave generation. We want it now. We want everything now. And sure, that's true because we've been trained to want it. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I was unsatisfied with how quick Amazon was this past Christmas. All right? Let's be real. I want next day. And it wasn't. I couldn't handle that, right? Why? Because that's what I wanted. That's what I expected. So a lot of times we put these expectations on what God's doing rather than on what God's doing in us. So let's hold off and I'll come back to that in just a second. But why the wait? Well, because God is preparing good work in us. We know this in Ephesians chapter 2:10. Now, for us knowing that this is a preparation season, we need to be doing some things, all right? We need to be preparing for things. We need to actually get organized in our life where we say, all right, I've got to let go of some things. I've got to examine what's happening in my life so that I can actually overcome some of these obstacles. So here we go. I love what Pastor John Ortberg, he's from California, this is what he said. The goal of prayer is not to get good at praying. The goal of prayer is to live all of my life and speak all of my words in the joyful awareness of the presence of God. I'm going to read it one more time. The goal of prayer is not to get good at praying. I got to tell you, guys, you don't have to be a wordsmith to be a good prayer. This is not, that's not the purpose, okay? I don't need you to have this mentality of thought of like, oh, I don't want to pray. Yesterday, I was at a basketball game, and the ref asked me to pray for the game. This was at the YMCA, by the way. And so I quickly began to pray. I remember walking away from that prayer going, I didn't pray for anything. In my head, I just quickly prayed. Lord, we thank you for this time of fellowship. Lord, that we're going to play basketball and we're going to do it well. Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory in what we do. So in Jesus' name we pray, amen. But in my head, I walked away and go, I didn't pray for good sportsmanship. I didn't pray for injuries. I didn't pray for any of these things. So then I just go, God, you know what we need. Amen. And I just kept walking. But out loud, immediately, I got critical on myself to think, all these people, I hope they don't know that I was I don't know if the ref knew that I was a pastor or not. And then in my head, I'm thinking, oh man, there's a standard of a pastor. You know, all of these stupid thoughts begin kind of flooding into your brain. And you're like, this is stupid. Like, God, you know what these boys need. And that's enough. You don't have to be a wordsmith. So again, the goal of prayer is not to get good at praying. The goal of prayer is to live all of my life and speak all of my words in the joyful awareness of the presence of God, period. All right? I believe that to be true. So there's three things in prayer that I want us to examine real quick. You can go to God open and honest. Some people believe they have to hold back. You can go to God open and honest. In Psalm 62:8, it says, oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. God knows. He just wants to talk with you. He wants to see what's going on. So experience that with him of sharing your heart, sharing your thoughts. The more you do that, the more you're going to want to do that. The more that you reveal yourself to him, the more you're going to say, man, I know what this quote really means, that joyful awareness of the presence of God, to be in that moment. It's beautiful. The second thing I want to discuss about prayer is your prayers change things. A lot of times you think it doesn't, but it does. Listen, I believe with my whole heart that you're fighting pride. When you have this notion that prayer doesn't work, that it doesn't really change anything, then actually you begin to fight with pride because you begin to go, well, I'm going to make the change. I'm going to be able to do these things versus that waiting upon the Lord and saying, God, I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. Because why? It's worth the wait. It's completely worth the wait. You're fighting pride. You want to take these things, and then what's sad is that what? You do it in your own understanding. And we know throughout Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 16, it messes it up. So we cannot find ourselves victim to our own plans. So Matthew chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. God knows. So be transparent, open up, tell him everything, and in that moment, trust in him. He knows what you need. He knows what you need. That's power in that one word. He knows what you need. He knows this. He doesn't want you to go without. Listen, I hate to put human characteristics on God, so I'm not doing that. So don't get this misunderstood here. But in my own nature as a father, if my child's shoe is falling apart, guess what? I'm going to buy him a new shoe. All right? I'm not going to let him and watch him walk around with holes in his shoes. I know what he needs. So guess what? We're going to go to the store and buy him shoes. Now, for some of you in this room, you may have a hard time with this. But you'd be like, no, God's trying to teach me something with the holes in my shoes. No, he just wants you to talk to him about the holes in your shoes. My kids, I have no idea. I am an okay father at times. My wife will tell you I'm a great father, but I'm an okay father. I don't really care what these kids wear. I don't care. My wife cares. I don't really care. When we're at the kitchen table, I care more about the shoes being organized at the front door than them having shoes on. All right. So I don't really think about those things. So a lot of times I'm unaware of the needs until my children go, hey Dad, I need a new pair of shoes. And I go, we just got you a new pair of shoes. You know, I get real defensive like that. And they're like, no, Dad, look. And then they make like the whole sole like come up and flip and flop. And then I'm just like, what? How did that happen? And they're like, well, you know, I was running fast. I'm like, no, you weren't. And I've heard all the excuses, right? But I go immediately, I'm like, well, this can't be. We have to fix this. But what's beautiful, the difference between me and my human form as father, is that I don't know these needs ahead of time. Yeah, I know they need shoes, but I don't know they're falling apart. God knows ahead of time. He already knows your need. He's preparing those things ahead of time for you, okay? So it's important that we go to him all the time. We go to him all the time to present our requests and make them known to him. He tells us to do this, so it shouldn't be foreign to us. Now, you may think that this next thing is similar to this last thing, but I want to say it like this, is that your prayer matters. Your prayer does change things, but your prayers matter. There's something about that union you have with the Father in prayer. There's something about this. So whatever you do today, you don't give up on your prayers, okay? You don't take matters in your own hands. We just discussed this. And I got to tell you, you got to trust not, and this is important, trust God not to give you what you want, but what you need. Sometimes the most amazing things that happen in prayer is not what is happening to your circumstances, but what's happening to you. Now, there is a very long dialogue of how this operates and works when prayer takes place. You know, is it about the things you need, or is it about you in general, and how God comes in and does both. And so I'm in the agreement that I believe in the pan theory, which is called God, everything pans out in the end, that God takes care of it all, all right? Now, I know that's a wishy-washy type of theory, but the pan theory is always good for me because I just trust in him, period. So when I pray, I'm trusting that God works it all for the glory of him. So I work it out by saying, you know what? God, you told me to pray. God, you told me to bring my requests and make them known to you. You told me, God, to bring all of my burdens and my hardships and lay them at your feet. So God, when I operate in doing what you told me to do in prayer, then guess what? Then I'm just faithful. And then I wait and I see what God's about to do. So when God begins to shift and move. Yes, there's occasions where I go, ooh, I see what God's transforming inside of me during this time. Oh, I see God's revealing this. God's showing me where the fish is that has the coin in its mouth. God is showing me what I really need and what I don't need. God's showing me that door that needs to open, that door that needs to be closed. God shows me that next best step. God shows me that encounter that I need to have. God shows me that conversation that I need to have. God opens up all of those things, and he closes all of those things. When you what? When you wait upon him. You've got to wait upon the Lord. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. I think those are two good positions for us, that you have to put the weight and the value on the understanding that your prayer matters. When your prayer matters, then what? You're watchful and you're thankful. Some of us, we found that hard to do, but again, I think it's a battle of pride. It's a battle of pride because we begin to say, well, I just can't wait. And you just get antsy. And some of you say, well, Josh, how do I know that God's going to do it? Because he said he would. He said he would. There will be moments in time when you're going to know that you know. I can't explain it other than you'll know that you know. And it's a wake-up moment. You wake up and you go, I know that I know. My wife and I have had those occasions together. We both know that we know. That it's a done deal. We just look at each other and go, you know? Yeah, I know. We're not supposed to do this. No, we're not. Not supposed to do it. 9 times out of 10, I hate even saying this out loud, but 9 times out of 10, my wife and I typically in prayer, it's always the agreement of no. More than it is the agreement of yes. Meaning we know when God does not want this to happen. It's 9 times out of 10 that we go, it's a no. It's a no. I know the no. That yes factor is always that open door of I kind of go, well, God, and I'm not a Gideon where I throw out a fleece. Go study that in the Old Testament. But I'm not throwing out fleeces to God and saying, God, if you do this, then I'll do that. But I basically walk even slower to the forward motion when I'm waiting for a yes, because I want everything to come in alignment. But when it's a no, boy, it's an immediate no. It's a moment where the donkey's going to turn around and start talking to you moment, you know, if you know that Old Testament story. Like, I don't want to get to that point. I don't want no donkey talking to me, all right? But in that moment, it's like, I know, oh, I know, no, 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 no. But the yeses, there's always a variable involved in the yeses of this moment of kind of like, I don't know, baby, like, I want to do this. But then there's that moment of like, I don't know. And then it's like, well, just keep moving forward, right? Keep being thankful, right? Keep being watchful. So just hang tight. An example of someone who prays, and I may butcher this guy's name, Epaphras. It's Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. This story really sticks out. I love the story. I would love to expand on it today, but I'm going to move quickly from that into fasting. But in Colossians chapter 4, verse 12, we have this individual that just pops up out of nowhere, Epaphras, and it says, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. So out of nowhere, it's this random guy who pops up. He's like, I'm one of you guys. Want to say hi. Want to let you know how friendly I am. And then I'm just going to tell you, I'm wrestling in prayer for you guys. All of that beautiful words that really just jumps off the page for you should tell you a posture for us as individuals to find ourselves in. And that's, he's one of us. He's in agreement. He's identifying the fact of like, I see you, you see me, I'm one of you, I understand. No, I might not have the same circumstance that you have, but I'm still one of you. I'm a human being, I breathe air in, I breathe air out. Storms still come, storms go, good days, bad days, all the days. I see you, I'm one of you. His also his attitude, he's a servant of Christ, and he says, hi. What a friendly guy. Hey, Paul. Tell him I said, hey, what's up? Like, that's fun to me, to be like, hey, Paul. And in this one little scripture of a blurb, Epaphras gets to say, hi. Hi. I love this, that friendly notion of like, hey, I'm here for you. And then it goes from that moment to his action. His action is wrestling in prayer for you. What a descriptive word, wrestling in prayer for you. Not just, I'm in prayer for you. No, there's a distinction between the two. Oh man, I'm wrestling in prayer for you. It's that emotions of I'm in it. I'm not just sitting here saying a nice little prayer. No, I am wrestling. There is emotion attached to this. There's an action step that's taking place. And so for us, I believe it actually is an action step, and that we need to walk in a mentality of I'm going to be in constant prayer. I'm going to be in constant connection with God and what he wants to do. So I want us all right now to confess that we're prayer slackers. Now, so some of you are like, well, speak for yourself. No, no, no. I want us to ramp up our prayer life. All right? I want us to ramp this up. So I'm not asking for any, this is rhetorical, by the way, but I want us to repent from this moment forward and moving into 21 days of fasting and prayer, that you're going to step it up, that you're going to change the atmosphere around you, that you're going to let go of some of these things that are hindering you from finding that time with God, that you're going to go into this with a not ceasing, that is constant prayer. For some of us in this room, it's maybe it starts off with a little bit of a regimen. I know it's kind of backpedaling here a little bit, but maybe it is waking up early and just to put in some sacrifice in there to go, you know, I'm going to wake up 30, 45 minutes, an hour earlier this next 21 days. I'm going to set some time apart. Maybe it is at lunchtime that you decide, you know, this is going to be my prayer hour. But I would also encourage you, even though I said, you know, it doesn't come to just being like 30 minutes and 1 hour, but it's an all-day thing. But maybe it begins the first few days like that, just to get you into this, I need to pray. It's a wake-up. And then you begin that moment of it just continues without ceasing, that you continue to begin to pray. And some of you, you may have a hard time at first. There's going to be all sorts of blocks, mental blocks, people for one thing. But you may even get into the mental block of like, God, what do I pray about now? World hunger. Listen, just begin to talk to God. Begin to speak out to him. God, what do you want to share with me today? Show me something today. God, I pray for an encounter with someone today. Don't be so quick with your words. Lord, I thank you right now for food. Lord, I thank you right now for all the people. I pray for healing, signs, miracles, and wonders. Don't get into this like, just take a deep breath. Sit back and go, all right, God. Now, you might begin to daydream a little bit. That's okay, too. That happens. You're human. Right when you wake up from the daydream, right back into praying. I believe actually that's probably what Paul was talking about. Pray without ceasing. That like, wake up. Oh yeah, let me get back into prayer. You begin and you just continue that out through the entire day. It's important that you take those first next best steps with this. Now, fasting. Isaiah 58 really breaks this down, and I would encourage you to follow and read throughout this week. We've given some resources through the app different books, different links on web pages, different studies. This particular one on Isaiah 58, there's a link. It's fantastic. And it's a great understanding of the importance of fasting. But in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 through 18, it says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So I have a good friend of mine who I admire him deeply. He is a fasting warrior. He fasts every Wednesday, and he's done that for years now. And then he also, he's not done it the past few years, but previous to this, for almost a decade, he would fast up to 30 to 40 days at the beginning of the year. And those fasts would vary on what was happening. He only a handful of times went without complete food for 30 days and just water. And he never wanted to talk about it, obviously. He followed what the scripture said. But he did a video announcement for his church. And I just happened to tune into the message that day. And he's not the pastor. He's just one of the pastors on staff. But he did a video announcement. And I go, oh, the minute I saw it, I was like, oh. I called up and I said, "Hey, you can't do announcements when you're fasting." And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because you look like death." Because I was like, your face is like in, like you look special. I was like, "You've got to stop this." And he goes, "Why? I feel great though." And I go, "I'm sure you do. But you look like everybody's going to be asking what's going on in your life." I said, "You don't need to be on the camera. You do not need to do that." And so they took that to heart and they no longer put him on camera when he's fasting like he does. But why do I tell you that? Because it becomes about you. When it becomes about you and the attention's on you, it's inadvertently, he didn't even want it. But when you start beginning to get this attention and then you hear these words of people, then they make you out. Because I started off by saying, I got to have a friend who I admire. He's one of my heroes. Why? Because of his fasting. Right? Like you begin to put these individuals on a pedestal. That's not what it's about. All right? And so he somehow on Wednesdays avoids getting lunch, avoids people on Wednesdays, which is pretty spectacular on how he's became like just a ninja at it. And I think it's important that when we begin to examine ourselves with fasting, it's the root of why we're doing it. It's not about getting the glory. It's not about losing weight, all right? If that's the purpose of going into fasting, then don't even fast, all right? And that's the whole point of Isaiah 58. Now, why? Why do we do this? Well, it's the why behind your fast that's important, and that's what matters. The benefit of fasting far outweighs the pleasure of food. Typically, when I have fasted, if you do a fast without any food at all, and I would encourage you, if you have some type of a physical ailment or something of the sort, that you need to seek your physician before you just say, "I'm going to go without food for 30 days. All right, you've got to be smart about it. There's all sorts of repercussions that can take place if you don't know what you're doing. You can't just be like, "I quit food." And then there's all sorts of mishaps. I had a friend who one time, he said, "I quit doing food for 2 weeks." But before he'd go to bed at night because of heartburn and indigestion, he took a small chug of milk. Well, that milk did all sorts of bad things to his body over the course of 2 weeks because of the dairy. And I don't know all the dietitian side of it, but it wasn't smart. And there's some research, if you're like, "Oh, I'm just going to go on a fast." You need to know that God told you to go on that type of a fast. You need to do some research before you just be like, "I'm going to do it." Now, some of you say, "Well, Josh, I challenge that because they didn't have Google 2,000 years ago when they would fast." No, you're correct. But they ate a whole lot better than we ate 2,000 years ago. All right? So it's really, really important that we're smart. Now, You're seeking the things of the Spirit. You're praying that the things in the Spirit are moving your life. Fasting puts your flesh into submission. So I was going to say this. I had fasted one time, and it was about the third day when I talked to other people who fasted. It's usually about that third day that you lose that hunger pain for something, where it just ceases, and something takes place where your body kind of becomes dormant of sort, and then you're able to go through the next day and the next day. But it's not about just a set portion of time. Even though, yeah, we're asking as a church that we come together and do this for 21 days, this is a position you have with God. This is a thing tonight, and coming out here tonight to pray for an hour, it's asking ourselves, God, what is it you want me to fast? God, what comfort do you want me to remove out of my life? God, I want to see a transformation in my spirit, man. I want to see what you see. I want to come closer to the things of God. That's what you're praying out. And then beginning that fast tomorrow and that season of prayer, you're ramping yourselves up for that preparation because it's worth the wait. Because there are things to come in your life that you need. And there needs to be, and it might not be, it's not physical necessarily. It could be, it's something in the spirit. There's something, a wisdom moment, a next best step in your life, a healing in your marriage, a healing in your relationships, all right? So this is that time of preparation that we're going into. But let's say we're 10 days in and you just know that you know, this isn't for me. God, I'm for some reason, I'm doing it all wrong. I've got the wrong motivation. God, show me how can I fix this? I think there's an awareness to this. Don't shame yourself if you're 5 days in, you go, man, I was only doing it just so I could lose that extra 10 pounds. And then you realize God speaks to you in that moment and goes, yeah, that's not what it was about. And you go, I know. I'm sorry. Forgive me that I went in there with this wrong mentality. And then God, he quickens you. He changes some things. He talks to you about this stuff. So don't get into shame mode and get this and then quit mode. I'm just going to quit. I'm a loser again. Gosh, I can never get into this spiritual, routine. I say that loosely too, but the spiritual, let's just call it a highway, and you just get off of it. I don't want you to get that way. I want you to stay focused and keep going. But talking to him continually for him to sit there and correct you and to bring this awareness of, hey, this is why you do what you do. So don't get into this mode of beating yourself up. It's putting that flesh into submission because, unfortunately, when you're guided by the flesh, all sorts of things can go haywire. It's important. The spirit man is stronger than the flesh. You've got to nurture your spirit, not your flesh. It elevates the things of the spirit, and it suppresses the flesh. So some of you need a healing in your body. Some of you need a mental healing in your body. This is that time right now. I am going to commit to prayer. I'm going to commit to fasting. God, I want to see breakthrough in my life. God, I want to come closer to you. I want to know the things of the Father. God, I want this. So very quickly, I'm going to read through this in Isaiah 58. Verse 2, it says, yes, daily they seem to seek me, pretending that they delight to know my ways, as though they were a nation that does what is right and had not rejected the law of their God. So you see, this is a correction moment, okay? They ask me to show them the right way, acting as though they are eager to be close to me. These are the individuals who are like, man, I'm a Christian, right? Now in present day, obviously this is dealing with the Jew, but in present day moment, we have that same type of mentality. Come to church like a good little Sunday school boy and girl, and then we act like a fool the rest of the week. We do what we want. Sometimes we put on the persona of being a Christian. Yeah, 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 amen. I'll be praying for you. And then we still turn around and we beat each other up, and we still slander and gossip. We still treat people in disrespect. So this is the same thing was happening. So this is a correction from God. It says, they say, why is it that when we fasted, you did not see it? We starved ourselves and you didn't seem to notice, because on the day you fasted, you were seeking only your own desires and you continue to exploit your workers. During your fast, you quarrel and fight with others and strike them with an angry fist. When you fast like that, your voice will not be heard on high. Do you think I'm impressed with that kind of fast? Is it just a day to starve your bodies? Make others think you're humble and lie down in sackcloth and ashes? Do you call that a fast? Do you think I, Yahweh, will be pleased with that? This is the kind of fast that I desire. Remove the heavy chains of oppression. Stop exploiting your workers. Set free the crushed and mistreated. Break off every yoke of bondage. Share your food with the hungry. Provide for the homeless and bring them into your home. Clothe the naked. Don't turn your back on your own flesh and blood. Then my favor will bathe you in sunlight until you are like the dawn bursting through a dark night. And then suddenly your healing will manifest. You will see your righteousness march out before you, and the glory of Yahweh will protect you from all harm. Then Yahweh will answer you when you pray. When you cry out for help, he will say, I am here. If you banish every form of oppression, the scornful, the accusations, the vicious slander, and if you offer yourselves in compassion for the hungry and relieve those in misery, then your dawning light will rise in the darkness, and your gloom will turn into noonday splendor. Yahweh will always guide you where to go and what to do. He will fill you with refreshment even when you are in a dry, difficult place. He will continually restore strength to you so you will flourish like a well-watered garden and like an ever-flowing, trustworthy spring of blessing. Your people will rebuild long deserted ruins, building anew on foundations laid long before you. You will be known as repairers of the cities and restorers of communities. If you stop pursuing your own desires on my holy day and refrain from disregarding the Sabbath. If you call the Sabbath a delightful pleasure and Yahweh's holy day honorable, if you honor it properly by not chasing your own desires, serving your own interests, and speaking empty words, then you will find the joyous bliss that comes from serving Yahweh. And I will cause you to prosper and be carried triumphantly over the high places of the land. You will enjoy the heritage of Jacob, your ancestors. Certainly, the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. There's no more plain group of scriptures than that right there of why do we fast. The purpose behind it, the position, the posture. God really quickens us quickly to center ourselves into that position where he says, I can use you. You are a vessel, an instrument for noble purpose that I can pour into. When you begin to fast, you're relinquishing all control and you're saying, no, I don't want any of these things. God will put yourself into this moment where you can hear him more clearly, that his voice becomes louder. It's clearer. You begin to honor him in such a way that it's not about me anymore. It's about, God, what's the bigger purpose of this? I know that some of us in this room, we have heavier things in our lives. I don't want to belittle any of those things or act as if I just know. Some of you in this room, I can give you this answer, though. I really believe that when you humble yourselves before the Lord, that when you present yourself as a living sacrifice, as you say, God, I'm a prayer slacker. God, I need you to wash me from this. I believe with my whole heart that through prayer and fasting, if your foundations in your family are crooked, if they are missing, if they're broken, this is the healing moment. This is the restoring moment. If you're having a hard time in your marriages, in your relationships, then guess what? This is that moment. This is that moment to say, God, you bring in the brick and mortar. God, you show me where the brick and mortar goes. God, I pray right now for my workplace. Right now, some of you you hate where you work. You need to see a change around. Guess what? It's going to be because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you that changes the atmosphere in that room. And the Holy Spirit's going to instruct you on what you need to do and what you don't need to do. The Holy Spirit will shine through you in such a way that those around you, your superiors, and even those that are below you, that they'll take notice of this. That leadership that's inside of you will rise up. Why? Because you know things that they don't know. Why? Because God's whispering them to you. It comes from fasting and prayer. It comes from that moment to say, I don't want to be the same old me anymore. I want a newness. I want a refreshing. I want to live in the power of God 24/7. This is a moment that we need to grab a hold of, and we need to run with it. We need to hold on to this prayer and fasting and say, you know, I want to do this on a more continual basis in my life, not just for 21 days, but for the rest of my life. It doesn't need to be something we just do just because, oh, it seems like the thing to do. It's the first of the year. Let's do it the first of the year. No, I hope this challenges you to see the benefit of it, the benefit that how God speaks to you, how it's not about food. Some of you are already squirming. You're thinking, oh, man, I've done a fast before. It's been a while. I'm not going to lie. I've been trying to sit here and think about it myself. Sadly, my wife and I, this is the flesh. I'm being real transparent with you. My wife and I started dieting back in August. So, like, in my brain, I was like, I've already given everything up. There's nothing left. Like, I was trying to think. Past few weeks here, we're like 21 days of prayer. I was like, and fasting, oh, fasting, what could that be? So then one of my best friends in ministry, I called him up and he says, yeah, man, you know, our church, we just started 21 days of prayer and fasting ourselves. We did this past Monday. And I said, well, if you don't mind me asking, what's some things you're fasting? He says, coffee. He goes, man, I've had headaches, like migraine headaches every day. And I was like, nuts. Like, that was the only thing in my brain, right? I'm in the flesh right now. I'm just being real transparent with you guys, okay? So don't be like, oh, Pastor Josh, he's got to be holy. I got to be holy. So do you. But in my head, I was like, I don't want migraines for the next 21 days. Like, you know, I'm thinking about these things. Like, what am I going to fast? What am I? I'm not on social media, so what's like a discomfort? I'm like, children. You can't fast children, right? Like, I was trying to think of something. My kids are in the room. I love you guys. My kids think I'm the worst. They're like, Dad, you don't like us, do you? No, I love you. You're just a good joke for me, for everybody. But I love you. But there are some real moments to sit here and go, all right, God, what is it? So I'm hoping that tonight, my prayer, not hoping, I'm just giving it to God, that tonight in prayer from 6 to 7 here, that we're going to come to that. I'm going to come to this moment. God's going to reveal to me, God, Josh, this is what you need to do. This is what's going to open up some things in your life. This is going to reveal some things. And God will speak those things to you. And you'll just know. You'll just know that you know. This is it. And through that time, you're going to see some action steps. God's going to reveal to you, you know what? You could say some nicer things to your spouse. You can say nicer things to people at work. God will reveal that moment, a detail that you've been overlooking, a detail to see at work where you say, I've never noticed that Lisa does this every day. And you know, I'm going to tell her that she's awesome. Lisa, I just noticed you do this every day, and I've never seen that before, and I'm thank you for that. Will you talk about changing something? A moment where it's like, whoa, or a moment where you need to do something for Lisa, all right? This is that moment where you go, man, I can do something different, and I'm gonna dote on her. I'm gonna show her something about herself that's just good, and I appreciate it, because this is what God changes. That's how God changes things, by using you. And that's a good position to find yourself in. Man, I love when God uses me. When I go, man, I got to be used today. That was awesome. But a lot of times the flesh gets in the way. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this. I looked at my wife yesterday. I've told you guys this 100 times. I hope you realize this is the truth. We're sitting at the dinner table, yes, or the lunch table, whatever, yesterday before we went to a basketball game. I looked at her and I go, I hate coaching. We had a game yesterday at 1. I looked at her and I said, I hate this. And I told her, I said, I hate this more than something, right? And she goes, wow, you really do. I go, I know, I hate this. And she goes, what do you think it is? I'm like, I don't know, I just hate coaching. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And she said, but don't you think that maybe the reason why we're doing it is because of the group of boys that we can be, we can show them love and show them things they've never seen before. And then, you know, you just look at her like, but you know, she's right. She's right. One of the boys, we had just learned this past week that his mom passed away of COVID in October. So if you guys know me, my mom passed away in September. So it was one of those moments that I could have with this little boy of an eye-to-eye moment. Hey, I feel you, dude. It was special, you know? You don't know when you're getting used, but your flesh can put boundaries and hindrances in your way to actually share the love of God with someone. I hate coaching, right? I hate this. Ugh. And then you end up fleshing it out to be like, no, I'm not doing it. Because why? And then you can give all the good excuses because I hate doing it, Anna. Don't make me do this. And then you get enough anger inside that she finally goes, all right, don't do it then, you know. Which I get it, why we would do that. You know, whoa, I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt you, you know. I'll only push you so far. But I'm glad I was pushed. I'm glad that I'm in this, and I'm glad I'm coaching. Now, it's stretching me for sure, but there's a bigger picture here. And I think that, when I know this, when you get into prayer and fasting, that's where the door opens up, where you see these things more clearly. God will use you as a vessel. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this time together. God, I thank you, Lord, that tonight, many of us will come out here tonight, and we're going to see where we need to correct some things. Lord, tonight we're going to see some moments of why we're fasting and why we're praying. Lord, I thank you right now, Lord, that we are, God, that we are your children and that you love us and that you dote on us. God, that you have the best of the best for us. Lord, I thank you that tonight our hearts, God, are going to be seen. And Lord, you'll see a true picture of our desires. Lord, they're not selfish, but Lord, it's a desire that lines up with your heart. God, I pray that tonight that you show us what we need to be fasting and praying. God, I pray that tonight your love is revealed. Lord, that your understanding is revealed. God, I'm thankful. God, I'm thankful, Lord Jesus, that our desires are let go. Our selfish desires are let go. God, we repent right now of our prayer slacking behavior. God, we repent of that. And Lord, that today we begin to change our mentality and our head game of what prayer is about and why we should do it. And Lord, how often we should, more often. God, that we do it with an understanding that we're talking to the creator of the universe, the creator of mankind. God, that we don't take this lightly. God, that when we go before you, you hear our prayers. God, I thank you for this. Lord, I thank you that in this house, Lord, that many of us, Lord, I pray that all of us in this room, that we do this together. As one body of believers, that we all come together unified to pray and fast for the next 21 days, for a season of preparation for this house that turns over into a flooding of love and compassion for this community. Lord, that the people of this community and of the state of North Carolina will encounter your love through Trailhead Church. Because, Lord, we have taken on the position of preparation, of fasting and prayer, because God, we know what's about to take place. So Lord, it's worth the wait. Lord, it's worth the moment of sitting here and just waiting upon the Lord. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we honor you this morning. We worship you. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show to us and reveal to us things like we've never seen before. God, healing, signs, miracles, and wonders. Lord, the powerful flow of the Holy Spirit in this house. Lord, we welcome that. God, we welcome the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in this house. Lord, we welcome for the opening of heaven to be poured into this place. Lord, I worship you. Lord, we magnify your name. God, I thank you for a restoration in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships, at our workplace, with our neighbors, Lord, with our moms, our dads, our children. God, I thank you, Lord, that people will come back into this house. Lord, that people will drop the offense and drop the hurt and the pain, Lord, and walk in love and forgiveness. God, I thank you, Lord, that we will all do this. Lord, we pray for our enemies. Lord, we pray for them to be blessed. Lord, that you pull out, Lord, that you pour out your spirit upon them. Blessings and love. Lord, we honor. Lord, we respect those that are in authority. Lord, we begin to change our words. Lord, that we begin to change our words, Lord, they're not full of hate and full of anger, but Lord, they're full of restoration power. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I praise you. Lord, we honor you. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Listen, we have a beautiful prayer room. My left, your right, right behind you. We have some wonderful individuals that'll be in that room. If you don't know who Jesus is and you want to make him Lord over your lives, then I want you to go to that room at the end of the service. Go and talk to some people. Go talk to them and just share what's going on in your life, about how God's been talking to you and about how you've got some things, man, you just want to work it out. Well, you got some people that are going to pray with you in agreement. So I would encourage you, if you want to make Jesus Lord over your life, then that's the room I want you to go to. If you have an ailment, if you have something that you need prayed for, then go into that room as well. If you've got something bothering you, go into that room. This is not a time for you to be like, maybe next week, I'll just worry about it later. No, this is that time. Take this as your sign. Go through that door and get prayed for. Get your breakthrough. Get your release right now. Step out in faith. Get out of your comfort zone. All right? This is the change that you need. You need the breakthrough. You need the healing. It's important, okay? So don't be walking out of here still hurting, still in pain. Get your breakthrough, all right? It's important that you know who Jesus Christ is in your life, so make that happen today. Guys, we're so blessed that you're here. If you're new, stick around. Find out some more information about the church there at the check-in counter out there in the lobby. Meet somebody new. Come back tonight and pray with us from 6